This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, what's it look like now? NFL draft, night one, obviously done. The Texans did not make a selection. A lot of, like, just run on players that you would have imagined dovetailed nicely with what the Texans would have liked to do, what some of the reporting was that they would do, what some of the mocks anticipated they might do. Those players kind of went, seemed like Nick Caserio saw the vibes pretty early, let him tell it, and was like, well, we might need to trade back. Mm-hmm. And so they made what I wouldn't necessarily, somebody on was asking us if it was a chess move. I don't know if it would be a chess move, but I feel like it was more. Or
plan B.
There are different kinds of moves in chess, I guess, but it felt like a very good contingency was used.
Yeah.
So you trade back, you allow the Giants to go up and take their pick, and you get some more. You get 34, mm-hmm. which is the second pick of the second round, in addition to the 58th pick that you had, which was a later pick in the second round. And then you add 79 in addition to your 89, or sorry, you add 99 in addition to your 79 and 89, where you have three picks, all 10 picks apart mm-hmm. in the third round, and you move into day two of the NFL draft. Who do you like? What are you looking for? Now what for the Texans as they move along the 2025 NFL draft?
Look, and this isn't me coping or whatever you however you want to put it.
Cope.
But this is a really interesting day in terms of how they approach it.
Fascinating.
And to your point, this to me, this is a plan B. You know, they were putting together this project, and then the drill bit broke. All right, so now what?
I got a screwdriver in here.
Yes. So how do I fix it now? What do I, you know, now what? And there's a lot of now what questions that need to be asked. And I think the number one question is if they were targeting an offensive lineman, and it seemed, reading between the lines of what Nick Caserio said, et cetera, that they were, didn't happen. Do they even go offensive lineman with the 34th pick? Because if you look at ESPN just updated, you know, the top, I believe they had like 30. Yeah, well, they have more, but 30 on their initial, you know, post here. If you look at the top 30 players available, none of the top 12 are an offensive lineman. So do they even go offensive lineman?
With 34?
With 34.
You got to go best player available, right? And I'm saying that loosely. I'm not saying get a safety or like that. But whatever you're needed, you got to go with the best player.
I mean, Reggie, that's the top dozen players, and you're picking the second pick today. None of those, according to them, and I saw a USA Today one as well, that absolutely didn't have an offensive lineman among their top dozen players available today either. Do you even like say, screw it, we'll get an offensive lineman later?
Well, I don't know if you go as far as actually saying screw it, but I do think that you are in a place where it is possible that maybe you get a player that does not fit that same kind of thought process. Mm-hmm. But because of all of the ammunition that you have, you might move and improve that 58 into something that's a little bit closer to 34 and then just double dip in this mm-hmm. talent-rich area of these kind of first round, second round, like, you know, tweener grades mm-hmm. and maybe fish in that pond a little bit. And maybe not do the thing that some folks on the text line are being a little bit unserious, and I say that with love and tenderness, about trade all the second and third round picks and get 16 picks in the fourth round, and maybe not do that. But like someone like Luther Burden is out there.
Well, that's the second part.
Do you like Luther Burden? Because there's him, and then there's another one I mentioned. I got a text about this. Travion Henderson, is that an interesting guy to you? Like get your running back here? Because Travion Henderson, I think he fits the profile of something that the Texans would like in that, you know, you look at his, you know, his history, and he's kind of a leadership guy, voted a captain. I think he took NIL money and bought his mom's a house. Like, that's kind of the type of guy that they like. Plus, mm-hmm. he is quick, he's athletic, and I think that pairs nicely with the running back room that you have. And then on top of that, and this is maybe the biggest thing out of all of that, He's a good pass blocker at a running back position. And that's something that they like and something that they probably need more of in that room. Like, could it be that they just go, we get that guy and know that there's still a nice crop of linemen that, as you're kind of pointing to, maybe teams aren't necessarily going to have a run on early, or maybe you even still get into a place where maybe you find another pick in the 40s range where you can still get into that place. Because as I said, that I don't, if there's not a run, I remembered that just a little while ago, somebody, I believe Daniel Jeremiah, at Move the Sticks on Twitter said, quote, and this is at 9:53 a.m. today, I believe we'll see an early run on wide receivers tonight. Mm-hmm. So maybe that run happens. They want to get involved there with like a pass catcher or a running back, and then they circle back around to linemen here a little bit later.
Yeah, to me, that's the second part of this, of the now what. I think wide receiver would have to be in play at 34 because Luther Burden has been ranked higher than 34, you know, in the consensus picks or whatever. But I honestly think running back is in play. I might get my running back.
Okay, so you're in on the idea of the Travion Henderson.
Well, Travion Henderson, remember they had Caleb Johnson in a top 30 visit?
Out of Iowa, yeah.
Judkins is out there. Quinshon Judkins. And then later on, you know, maybe if you don't go running back here, you got Scadabo still out there. Scadabo's still out there.
Man, you're just really trying to get that.
I'm not.
Trying
I'm
to up saying, the grit profile.
I'll just put it this way. The grit. The deepest position right now is running back.
Okay.
Yeah. In all terms right. of top 60,
well, deepest,
50,
how much do you need to get that 34 then?
I was about to say, if it is the deepest, you might want to wait until later.
Yeah, but you
on.
Did that with offensive linemen. How'd that work out?
Well, you didn't necessarily do that with offensive linemen. You didn't really have a great choice, and it seemed like, again, Nick was fairly frustrated about the possibility of not finding a trade partner in order to make a move to move up and doing things.
And they had no choice but to kind of wait a little bit.
All right, if you want to talk about the now what as we continue to look at, right, the positions that we were kind of interested in, the positions that made a decent amount of us frustrated yesterday, not being able to tap into the various talents that were there, offensive line and wide receiver. Which of those that still remain are you most interested in? And there's a lot of space that you could go with because over the second and third round, you have so much capital. And Nick Caserio, I don't know that he takes all five of the selections, mind you. Yeah. So I do think that there's a possibility to move even within all of this range. But so anywhere through day two, wide receivers and linemen that you like and that you're comfortable with.
Well, to your first part of the question, like, you know, what intrigues me the most at 34? And I know, you know, they've got four other picks today as well. But still, the other thing that we always have to remind ourselves, just because the consensus among mock drafts has someone like Luther Burden, you know, as the best available receiver, that doesn't mean the Texans think Luther Burden is the best available receiver. I'm still thinking about Trey Harris, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. Yeah, and that might be one where if the Texans are like, you know, big dude, fast dude, big, you know, well, not extremely fast, but, you know, good runs.
4.54, so he's actually a little bit
slow. Yeah, runs good routes.
Like, he ran a slower 40 than Tech
McMillan. Radius and catchability and all that stuff. I like him a lot. And if the Texans do, well, then there you go. It might be Trey Harris at 34. If not that, it might be a running back. You to Figgy's point, if it's deep, yeah, it's deep, but now you got your pick of just about all of them except for two, you know, and so. It might be running back that
was shocked.
That intrigues me the most,
especially with the history of the Texans not really getting the running back too early.
Yeah,
if you maybe I think there's still some really good opportunities on the board to try and attack here. And as you mentioned, there's still some running backs that I think are in that same kind of tier or a bucket of players. But when we get into that space, and especially in the third round, I still think that there are some linemen that can be starting caliber linemen. And let me start with Tate Ratledge. I think Tate Ratledge out of Georgia very much feels like a guy that could be that. And especially as I'm looking at it, and maybe you could tell me if I'm maybe looking at this in a wrong way, but a offensive lineman that can be starting caliber is something that I find interesting. Because there's a few of these guys like Ariante Ursary, who maybe has some consistency things that he still wants to work out. He's a tackle out of Minnesota that looks like he would probably be in that kind of like late second, third round range as a tackle. Let me make sure I have that grading right for him. No, he's a second round grade, straight up second round grade.
Yeah.
Charles Grant is a William & Mary guy, smaller school guy in the third round grade on him that I know that they've talked to. And then you even get into like Chase Lynn out of UConn that they talked to in the fourth round.
Yeah.
But those are guys that I don't know that I'm certain of are immediately coming in and competing in a real way for a starting spot. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that matters to people, but I do wonder if that is, I mean, if you're going to get a player of a certain caliber, that's if that's the way that you want to go, or at least try and vary those and get a guy who can maybe compete for a starting job and maybe a guy who's a little bit more projected. But I feel like Ratledge feels like he very much, and these are the guards, mind you, Ratledge feels like he very much has an opportunity to jump in and immediately compete, even though there's some stuff that I imagine you still want to see upside on, and maybe he doesn't have as much of the athleticism at times. Yeah, something to that effect. I apologize again for not saying his name correctly. But that's another guy out of Arizona that I think as a guard can get you to that place where he has an opportunity to try and start early. I think that those are the types of players that I'd be interested in seeing in this in the second round today.
Let me ask you this, though, and I think this is going to be very, very intriguing. If you had to guess, who is that player that was available, that is still available on Nick Caserio's board? He said it. Very candid, very unlike him. Because if you look at these players that we're talking about, best available according to all these services and et cetera, very few are linemen, very few are wide receivers, even fewer are linemen. And then there's the running. Who do you think that might be? Like he said, still on the board, and there's only one pick before they go at 34.
Luther Burden still feels like some of that because of like highly regarded wide receiver in some ways, but I don't. I mean, because there's edges that are really good in that space, but I don't know. Would it like Jalen Knoll be something that you're interested in? But he feels like he falls in, with all due respect, to like that next crop of wide receivers where you're talking about
Tate Ratledge
Knoll and Higgins. Well, Ratledge also feels like he fell into that next bucket of players
as
well.
But again, but we don't know what they think.
Yeah, that is fair.
We don't know what they think.
That is fair. but I think that, you know, you talk about Knoll feels like he falls in with that Besh and Higgins and that kind of group of wide receivers. Burden is one of the few guys that feels like he fell in with a higher kind of pool and bucket of players. I just am I guess some people have talked about Nick Scorton as a potential like edge, or I guess the edge that they could see in going forward. There's some other edges that are still there, like Mike Green or whatever, that are out there. But yeah, man, it just keeps feeling like it's pointing to Burden in a way. And I'll be interested to see if that's where they go to get a guy who has speed, a guy who has an ability to make things happen in space, to give to Nick Kalen this offense.
Yeah, and there are some that have the center from Georgia, Jared Wilson.
Someone else, Jared Wilson, the center?
Yeah. How about a center?
That almost feels like, I think he sounds like a good player. The question I have is that proper asset allocation? Because
the interior line.
It is the interior line.
That's part of the interior line.
No, but I know. But center in particular, unless I don't know, I don't have much on how flexible he is to play other positions. And I know that you feel like Juice can play at guard or what have you. Yeah. But he feels like he's probably better situated to play center as well with Jarrett Patterson. There, you already have two centers in the fold. And I understand that there's not necessarily a lot of certainty that those guys are absolutely the guy. However, if you have two guys there that you're willing to play there, I do wonder, is a good asset allocation to add another one, especially if it does not seem like this team is ready to move on from those dudes?
Again, it depends on where you think he might play and more specifically where you think, you know, what Juice can do. But you know, it's intriguing. Like he flat out said, the guy is still there, and it may well be. It may not even be the guy they take at 34. They passed it on him already, so.
Any chance that Nick is looking at the defensive side of the football, because I know there's people that have been really, really clamoring for Will Johnson. I know that Siobhan Revel is still out there, although he seems like he fits very nicely just as a second round kind of guy anyways. Is there any chance that you're looking that you see some like defensive guys early, especially if you go into the interior defensive line where, you know, it feels like that was a potential place where they could add.
I think there's absolutely a chance.
Or Will Johnson. Will Johnson is another name as a cornerback, although you have a lot of those.
You got a lot of cornerbacks. I don't know about that, but again, you know, the way they've built this team with the defense and all the way they've done it, I think it would be a less likely but not unlikely because they love, and D'Amico's a defensive head coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the person who got out here on the text line and said, and maybe this is their rationalization and their cope. If they had been told before yesterday that you wouldn't have a first round pick, but you'd have an opportunity to have a top five wide out, a top five, or not top five wide out, top 15 wide out, top 15 offense lineman, but top five possibly running back, tight end, and have all of those in the set in day two, that they would have been happy and good with that. And obviously, like, I don't know that you're going to get top five in all of those various different spaces, but you do have a shot at doing some of that, especially with some maneuverability that you have.
Yeah. What about tight end? We haven't mentioned tight end.
Yeah, tight end. And this was something that coming into, and I thank you for bringing this up because I did kind of neglect it. Coming into the draft, we were saying that day two could be an interesting opportunity to get a tight end. Someone like, I think you had fallen Arroyo in love with Franklin. And Arroyo feels a little, well, I guess all these guys in this middle space feel a little bit more like, not in line, but kind of a split tight ends. Harold Fannin is a guy who has gotten a lot of love, but
the kid from LSU, Mason Taylor.
Right, Mason Taylor. I forgot. Who is Jason Taylor's son, and in a funny way, that is a what's my goodness, I forgot her name at FS1.
You're talking about
goodness gracious on the TV show who was in the
Joy
lawsuit.
Taylor?
Joy,
no,
Joy Taylor, her nephew.
Yeah.
That was, that was a lot of work for very little juice.
Joy,
I apologize.
You're the latest news on
how's
Joy
she
Taylor?
Doing right about now?
I don't know how she's doing, but I know what she's likely doing.
What does that mean?
Look it up.
By the way, they need to bring back that show with Skip, Shannon, and Joy Taylor. Yeah, that'd be a hell of a show right now.
They wouldn't be allowed to have that show, friend. And if they did have that show, I'd wonder what the location would be. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Excited to see What is in store for the Texans in the second day of the draft, second round, third round, fourth round, all sorts of things going on, and you'll be able to hear live coverage, up-to-the-minute updates right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll do what we always do at this time, which is give you our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. Let's do that.